Okay, so welcome everyone. I have muted everyone so we don't get distracted by background noise. When I ask for questions, you can unmute yourselves by pressing star six. And I'd like to mention that these lessons are being sponsored by Ray and Marianne Huggins, and we really appreciate their sponsorship, and we owe them so much thanks for helping make these lessons possible. And today we're going to begin with a lesson in the second volume of Lakute Maran, Lakute Maran Tinyana, and the lesson is number 17. And 17 is divided into two distinct parts. Although the divisions aren't written into the lesson, it's very obvious that these may have been two different lessons, although we can see a connection through some of the concepts. It's a bit tenuous. I have decided to go with the second part of this lesson because it's a question that a lot of people puzzle over, and it's not just a theoretical or philosophical question, this balance between divine providence and the role of nature and natural happenings. It's actually that something that affects us on both the soul level and the very practical day-to-day level. So, we'll begin. Okay, let's see. Derech Hashem Yisbarach Lahabit Al HaTovos She'osim. The way of God, of Hashem, is to always focus on the good that people do. This is a known precept in Judaism, that Hashem is always looking for the good in each of us, in all of humanity. And that's why we see sometimes that somebody who appears just very not good to our eyes might receive blessings and seem to have a good life. And part of this reason is because Hashem is finding something good in this person. And God is our role model. And for those of you who have learned the foundational lesson in Breslov Zamra, you already know that Rabbi Nachman tells us that we should always look for the good in other people and ourselves. We should always look for the good. And we'll talk more about that later. Okay. Va'af shenimtza bahem gam kein ma. She'enu tov, eno mistakel alze. And though there is also some not so good mixed in with the good that the person does, Hashem doesn't analyze this. He doesn't scrutinize it. He pays no attention to it. Kamo shekasuv, as it is written, and this is in Bamidbar, if you remember the story of Balaam and Balak, Lo, he beat Aven the Yaakov. He doesn't look at the wickedness, the evil in Yaakov. So, when a person transgresses something, does something that isn't a good deed or isn't a mitzvah or the opposite of this, we're taught that Hashem really is looking at the mitzvah, at the good deed itself. And he's not microscoping and holding up to a magnifying glass all the little details. And we want to take from this a lesson for ourselves. This is something that is very important. Many people, they begin the path of spiritual growth. They're on the path of tshuva, or they want to serve God, or they want to come close to him. And they do a mitzvah. Maybe they give charity. That will be the example that I'll use here. They'll give tzedakah. And afterwards, they'll sit down and they'll think, okay, I gave tzedakah, but should I be so proud? After all, I didn't do it with my whole heart. I did it just because it was a mitzvah. Or I gave the money, but I really didn't want to give it to that person. I just don't really like them, and I know it's a mitzvah, but I really didn't enjoy giving the money. Or I gave the money, but instead of giving the minimum requirement of 10% I'm supposed to give, I gave 9%, and I didn't quite meet the minimum. So what we have to do is we have to know ourselves, and we have to understand where we're holding. And if we microscope and tear apart our attempts to do mitzvahs in a way that makes us reflect mostly on the bad, the admixture, so to speak, what happens is we tear ourselves down. And this, says Rabbi Nachman in other lessons elsewhere, he says, this can cause a person to give up. To give up. Because they're flawed. They're not perfect. And many women have a side to themselves. And I'm saying women very specifically because it really seems to be something that affects women a lot. This sense of perfectionism. And this can come about to destroy us. Because if we can't, many women feel if they can't do something 110% right, they shouldn't do it at all. Not everybody's like this, but I'm pretty much willing to guess that at least 50% of you on the phone call today have this quality at least sometimes. I know I do. And I feel, well, if you didn't do it with a full measure, then it's not worth something. But this lesson says, it says very clearly, Lo hibit aven b'Yaakov. He's not looking at the negative in Yaakov. Yaakov's us. He's not looking at the negative inside us. He really isn't. Okay? So I'm going to continue. Does anybody have any questions, actually? Let me pause here. If you have a question, you may unmute yourself. Okay. To unmute yourself, you would press star 6. Okay, no. So I'll continue. Let's see. Where am I? I lost my place. Okay. Mikol shekein sha'adam asur lo lahabit al chavero lara. Absolutely, it is forbidden for a person to look with negativity towards his friend. Limso bo davka ma she'enu tov. Uchapesh limso pegamim be'avodas chaveiro. And to find and look for specifically that which isn't good, okay, and to look for the things that he's doing wrong, especially the Rebbe's referring here to his avodas Hashem, to his in his service of God. So this is something else that people have the tendency to do, and that is to look at other people and to judge other people's religious devotions, their spiritual level, where they're holding. And we're supposed to be compassionate, and we're not supposed to examine and analyze whether other people are living up to their religious requirements or their spiritual requirements. That's not our job. We think it is, but it's really not. And I want to point out something here. Actually, I'm going to finish this paragraph I'm going to finish this paragraph because this is very relevant to this conversation, and it's relevant to our own understanding of relationships. So, mechuyav lahabit rak alto. Actually, on the contrary, we must only focus on the good in another person. So, of course, we hear this and we think to ourselves, well, I can focus on the good in other people, except for that person over there and this person over there and my neighbor and my relative. But everybody else, I can focus on the good, okay? And in fact, it's often easier to focus on the good in people that aren't so close to you. And what happens is that we think that we really can take the measure of another person. And this is very important. And we really pay attention to this because I'll tell you right now, it will change your life and change your relationships. We see someone who's trying to come close to God or who is really, working very hard to be a good person, to live a life of Torah and mitzvahs. And what we do is we look for the flaw in them and we say, aha, they're a hypocrite. Aha, they're faking it. Aha, see, they did that terrible thing and they call themselves religious, or they did that terrible thing and they think that they're serving Hashem or they're very spiritually advanced. They're a hypocrite. They're no good. We do this, and what we've done is we've negated most of their existence because we are not looking at the whole picture. We are looking at the flaw because the flaw is what's screaming out to us. And when we do, and by the way, we don't know always what is a flaw, and we can misjudge a situation, and we don't know the whole picture. But what we're doing here is we're doing the opposite of what Hashem's doing. Hashem's looking for the good. He's trying not to even look at the not so good. He's looking away in our own lives. He's not holding us up to this intense examination. He's not. Rabbi Nachman says he's not. And instead, we're doing that to other people. So we do it to ourselves, and we do it to other people. And the problem is with this is we get in a habit, and we have no understanding of the limitations of our own analysis, our own level of analysis, our own abilities to understand people, and we begin to solidify the point of view that everybody, or that certain group of people, or that certain specific people are no good. They're no good. That's it. They're rotten. Another problem with this is that we lose perspective. We forget that the only person and the only being that can truly know another person's whole history is that person themselves, and even more so, Hashem. We judge in the moment. We judge one aspect of a person. We're limited, and Hashem judges the whole picture. So he sees all the struggles that person has. He sees the difficulties they've been through in their lives. He takes this into account, okay? And he says, I'm judging on the side of good. I'm looking at the good. And this negative thing is a drop in the bucket compared to all the good. And in truth, that's how each of us wants to be judged. But what happens is that either somebody offends our sensibilities with the way they do something or an action, or they really do something egregious, or we don't like it politically, whatever it is, or we're hurt by someone and we lose all our ability to make a judgment on the side of good, and our perspective is distorted. And Rabbi Nachman is telling us here that we're obligated, it is an obligation to focus on the good. Okay, before I continue, because now we're going into the next concept, does anybody have any questions or comments? And you can press star 6 to unmute yourself, and I'll give you a few seconds to respond.
I'm unmuted, I think.
Okay, yes, I'm not. Go ahead.
So when I was listening to it, I was thinking of that pasuk in Torah, or maybe it's not in Torah, but in some of Kitvei Kodesh, aposel bemum bemumo posel, one who points out at somebody's limitation, negative part, is actually pointing at his own.
Yes.
So yes. Basically, it's not a dual system, because if I, and unfortunately that's not me, I myself tend to have high standards for me, kind of towards perfectionism. So of course, if I was totally, I know in areas where I know I'm not particularly good, and I know, like in sports, I know I wouldn't be great, it's much easier for me not to judge others' limitations. Yeah. But in areas where I think, then, yeah. So it looks to me like it always starts from us. We just externalize our inner kingdom outside.
Okay. So your point is excellent, and if people don't mind, I think that what Anat brought up is so important that I'm going to not move on to the next part without addressing what she says fully. I think a lot of people feel the way you do, Anat, and I also have found that this concept of judging others can be done for a variety of reasons. I'm actually going to see if I can mute again, just because we can hear.
I mute myself.
Breathing.
Oh no, you have to mute me.
I think so. Let me see. Let's see if can you mute yourself.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Can
I'm
you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you still. Let me try to mute everybody once more. Hold on. Okay, so I'm muted. Okay, so I'm finally getting the hang of this after how many years? Okay, so so I'm going to continue. So with what Anat said, and it's really vital. And even if we don't complete the lesson today, we'll complete it next week because this is so important. So what Anat is saying is that when we judge others, it's really coming from ourselves. And, of course, we've had this conversation before in the classes on Azamra, but it always bears repeating because we always forget. We're human. At least I forget. And this concept it's the concept of projection in psychology. At least it's not a perfect match, but it's very similar, which is when there is something we don't like about ourselves, and again, Anat was talking about judging from a position of high standards, but this is part of that in a way. When there's something that we aren't tolerant of in ourselves, it's difficult for us to own it. Okay, so what we do is we project it out onto others. Now, not everybody does this, and not everybody does this all the time, but it's common enough that it's in the Torah, and Rabbi Nachman and the Baal Shem Tov address this. And I think it's initially that also that it's addressed. And what this is we feel that we, let's say we're not, going back to tzedakah, going back to charity, since it's such a significant mitzvah that we focus on. And let's say we're really not giving charity, or we have a really hard time with it. We may project that onto others and scrutinize them and say, oh, they're so cheap. They don't give charity. They probably don't. You know, look how fancy they live, and yet they're so stingy. I mean, whether we know or not, that's what we're doing. So the Baal Shem Tov says something quite amazing. He uses a specific language of the court. He says, when we look at someone else and judge them negatively, or when we see someone else and we are given the opportunity to either judge them negatively or judge them positively, even to make an excuse for them. We see them doing something negative, or we read about someone doing something negative, and we immediately rush to judgment. And if we give them the designation of being guilty, they're no good, they're guilty, look what they did, we are judging ourselves, says the Baal Shem Tov. Because when we have something that we're working through in our own lives, Hashem arranges an opportunity for us to witness. It's not always exact. Sometimes it's a related issue in someone else. We are being shown this by the heavenly courts. We see it, and we can make a decision. We can either be guilty, or we can say, let me be Dama Chaschus. Let me judge on the side of of merit. Let me assume that this person doesn't know what they're doing, or they're having a really bad day, they're really suffering. Let me think about the fact that this person did something and I don't know the whole story. And maybe even I'm wrong. Maybe even my point of view is wrong. Maybe even my perspective is wrong. Let me assume that this person doesn't realize what they're doing is the opposite of a mitzvah, and so on and so forth. We have the opportunity to really say innocent or guilty. And the Baal Shem Tov wants us to know that we're really saying this about ourselves, because we have, and again, I'm using the language of the Baal Shem Tov, and it's a language of courts and trials. This could be described in other ways. So if the word trial sounds harsh, find another way to say it. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but we are under many, many trials. How about tests? That's a better one. We are under many, many tests all the time. And again, we're not being microscoped. Nobody's looking for the sitting and waiting for us to mess up. That's just not it. But what we are doing is we are being evaluated. And we're given the chance primarily to make the most significant step in this process of evaluation, which is to evaluate ourselves, because that is the key to personal growth. Evaluation that comes from outside ourselves can be helpful, but when we can honestly assess ourselves, well, my goodness, we've just scored. We've just won big time, because that is the first really step to personal growth, is to say, which is actually where we started this lesson today, here I am. Do I know myself? Can I assess myself? Do I know where I'm holding before I go focusing on everybody else? And if something comes my way where I see somebody else doing something that doesn't match my idea of what should be done, or maybe they're doing something really wrong, what does this have to do with me? We have to frame this self-referentially, even not in an unhealthy way. This isn't narcissism. It's just seeing that Hashem sends us messages again and again in our lives, messages to help us know ourselves, to know our true selves, and to really be able to grow and to come close to Him and to have good relationships, not only with Him and not only with other people, but also to have a good relationship with ourselves, which involves not being so harsh on ourselves. Now, I was speaking to somebody the other day, and they said something. I know who it was. Okay. And she said something really incredible. She said, she gave a metaphor that somebody had told her for what she does to herself, which is, it's, you know how a little child who, okay, maybe they don't know better, they will hold a magnifying glass up, God forbid, to a little ant or a little insect, and the sun will incinerate the poor little creature. So somebody used this metaphor to describe how she was viewing how Hashem viewed her. I thought that was really powerful, because Hashem isn't up there with this magnifying glass waiting to fry us. It's just not the way it is. He loves us. We, on the other hand, often are guilty of turning that magnifying glass on ourselves or other people. And as you can see, I'll tell you, in almost every lesson in Likutei Moran, without too much effort, probably if we made more effort in all these hundreds of lessons, we would probably find 100% of the lessons, we find key themes from Azamra. They're always present because they're central to our Avodas Hashem. They're central to living meaningful and fulfilled lives. Okay. Before I continue, you know what? We may not actually continue today because we're going into the next section, and I'm afraid that the topic really needs to be discussed fully. But for now, does anybody have any questions or comments? You can unmute yourself if you want to speak. Unmute yourself by pressing star 6. Nobody. Okay. Very good. I hear a little sound. Is that somebody? Okay, so nobody has any questions, which is unusual, or comments. Anat, I hope that was helpful. And I think what we'll do is we've actually completed the half hour, and we'll continue with the next section next week. And the next section links all these concepts we discussed today to the concept in why there is both Teva, nature, and Hashgacha Pratis, divine providence. Okay, everybody, have a wonderful week. I look forward to speaking with you next week. And just so you know, tonight is the Baba Sali's Yard Site. You can put a few coins in a pushka for him and light a candle for him. It would be very nice. Okay, all the best, everyone. Take care.